This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Yes, as Pastor Alex said, for those who were with us last Sunday and heard the teaching, I assume most of you are here today to learn more about divine healing. And I imagine some of you are here to receive a healing. And some may be here just hoping to witness God perform some kind of a miracle healing. So let me begin today by saying that the problem of sickness and disease is intertwined with the problems of sin and death. These problems are the result of the fall of the human race into sin. And this is where the Bible and science tend to disagree. Medical science views the problem of sickness and disease in physiological or psychosomatic terms. The Bible, on the other hand, says the underlying or basic causes are simply sin, which has affected our spiritual and our physical makeup and brings death, and Satan, the enemy of God, and the enemy of anyone who God loves. And our God, our awesome God, has solutions to redeem us from these problems. For sin, God provides forgiveness. And for death, God has overcome death and provides resurrection. He provides eternal life. And for sickness and disease, God provides healing. And this is why Jesus, during his earthly life, had a threefold ministry. Number one, teaching God's word. Number two, preaching repentance to take care of the sin problem and bring eternal life. And number three, healing every kind of sickness, disease, and infirmity among the people. So last Sunday, we received a teaching from God's word on why God heals. How many remember? Let's do a quick review. Number one, healing is for God's glory. See, human beings, and all creation, incidentally, were created to bring glory to God. That's the reason God created what he created. Therefore, any blessing we receive, including healing, is so that the one who is healed will use their healed self to praise and glorify God. And number two, we learned last week, healing is a preview of the resurrection. How many realize that you're closer to death today than you've ever been? For you see, all of us were born with a fatal disease. It's called sin. And the result of this fatal disease is death. The good news is that Jesus has overcome sin and death by his death and resurrection, and he promises, here's the cool thing, he promises that if we will follow him, we too will overcome death. We too will be resurrected. That is a good hallelujah. Thank you. On resurrection day, we will be raised from the dead. Meanwhile, we groan in these fleshly bodies. And every once in a while, God will give us just a taste of what resurrection is going to be by healing our bodies. We're on the way down. All of us are dying. And then we say, oh, God, heal me. And he says, okay, and boom, we get a little healing, and then we start going back down again. But one day, it's going to be resurrection. No more going back down. Number three, healing is a gift of the Spirit. No one possesses the gift of healing. I want to say that again because, man, there's been a lot of confusion about that. No one possesses the gift of healing. No one has the gift of healing. All believers do, however, have the gift giver. the Holy Spirit, who dispenses gifts like healing. As healing is dispensed as a gift to those who are sick. So who has the gift of healing? Who receives it? The one who's sick. That's the one who needs it, right? Okay, number four, healing is to confirm the preaching of the word. In other words, healing is to demonstrate that God's word can be trusted, God's word should be believed. And number five, this is all from last week, healing is to deliver God's people for extended service. In other words, we are healed so we can serve. Now, these 5 points tell us why God heals. They challenge our motives. They answer the questions of why do we want God to heal us and why should he? And then the last two from last week, which we just mentioned, are how we can receive God's healing. So I want to talk about that for a second. Number six is found in the book of James, where it says this: is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. James 5:14-15. So there it is. Number six, healing is a ministry given to the elders of the local church. See, this scripture clearly states that one of the functions of the elders of the church is to pray for your healing. The ministry is available when the sick person calls for the elders and allows the elders to pray over him or her. The elders are directed to anoint the sick person with oil in the name of the Lord as they pray. Now, some have questions about the oil. They want to understand the why behind the instruction to anoint with oil. And many godly scholars have speculated on this. You can look it up online if you want and get all kinds of ideas about why and what and what people think. Some have suggested that the oil spoken here in this verse was medicinal, that it was a healing solution. My problem with this is if the oil itself had some type of healing value, then why call for the elders of the church? Why not just use it at home? And if it was simply medicine, it would be just as useful for non-Christians. So why then should we emphasize it's something to be done for believers only? Therefore, the oil seems to me to be symbolic rather than something specifically designed to actually heal a sickness. In the 30th chapter of Exodus, we find God instructing Moses. He says, make an anointing oil for the temple items and the priests. Why? To set the objects and persons apart as holy. So all throughout Scripture, oil is a symbol of God's Holy Spirit's empowerment. And those who are anointed, what do? They consecrate, or they yield themselves to the service of the Lord. And I believe the anointing spoken of here in the book of James is symbolic as well. The oil is an outward symbol of the inward yielding of the believer to the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. And what is the work of the Holy Spirit? To point people to Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Lord of all creation. Holy Spirit convicts people of sin and empowers them to live a life that pleases the Lord. So in this case, the sick believer yields himself or herself to the Lord so that the will of God may be done in that believer's body. Anointing with oil is a physical act expressing a spiritual truth. And that spiritual truth is, we belong to God and have committed ourselves completely into his care. Prayer, you see, expresses this point with words. Anointing with oil expresses this point in action. Now, let me add here, please note that this does not guarantee that the person will be healed. It only guarantees that the one committed to Christ is trusting God no matter what occurs. Let's read the passage again. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. So note once again, the oil in itself has no value to heal. The power is not in the oil. The power is not in the elders. It's the prayer of faith which is emphasized. Everything else is secondary. And then number 7 is found in the very next verse. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? So that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So number 7 is healing is given to believers when they pray. Some years ago, several ministers got together. They were sitting in Oral Roberts' office. Anybody remember who Oral Roberts was? You ever heard of him? He was pretty famous. They were sitting in Oral Roberts. He had a ministry where he went around, and there was a lot of healings on television and stuff. Oral Roberts said this all of a sudden. He said, you know, of all the people I pray for to be healed, 95% of them have psychosomatic sickness. You can't find anything wrong with them. They just think they're sick. And he said, I'm aware of that. But if you run around thinking you're sick, don't you need a healing touch just as much as if you really are sick? And the reason, see, that's the reason it's important to pray for yourself. Quit complaining to one another and enjoying it. And we do, don't we? Have you ever tried to tell somebody how bad you feel? You know what happens, don't you? I mean, before you're done telling them about your ailments, they're telling you how bad they feel. And you end up being kind of sorry you brought it up because apparently they feel way worse than you do. So stop complaining. Quit trying to get everybody to feel sorry for you. Just tell the Lord that you're sick, and He will either heal you or He'll tell you to quit lying to yourself. Amen? Okay. And here's an extra point that's not even in part of my notes. How about this? You're never going to know complete healing until Resurrection Day. We're going down. We get a touch. Boom! But we're not healed forever. Somebody says, well, I beat cancer. Well, you did this time, but you know, something's going to take you out. You are going to die. Okay. So, there's your teaching. There's your teaching from God's Word. Now for some preaching. Incidentally, you do know the difference between teaching and preaching, don't you? The goal of teaching is to get you to know something. The goal of preaching is to persuade you to do something. Oh, it's true that preaching may include teaching, but while a teacher has succeeded, when you learn, the preacher has not succeeded until you respond. So, are you ready to hear God's word? If you're ready to hear God's word, just lift your hand and wave it around a little bit. Whoa. Yeah, I like that. So, if you're wanting God to heal you, there are steps to take to position yourself to receive. So if you want healing, the first thing to do is be sure you're in a right relationship with God and others. Jesus says, Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? That you may be healed. So that's number one. Number two, seek the presence of Jesus in your life. Otherwise, you will not have faith and your motives will be wrong. James 4:3, he tells us why sometimes we don't receive. He says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you can why may spend what you get on pleasures. Never forget, friends, it's all about Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, you're committing your thoughts, your words, your actions to bringing glory to Jesus. Jesus is everything. And your desire to be healed should be so you can use your healthy self to praise and glorify Him. Everybody say it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's it. Don't forget that if you forget everything else. Number three, saturate yourself with God's Word. John 15:7 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Jesus is saying that His words must be in us. This means that you're asking for what He wants. 1 John 5:14 says, if we ask according to His will, He hears us. And where do we find God's will? In the Bible. Number four, call for the elders of the church to pray with the anointing of oil. Okay? We talked about that already. Number five, believe miracles are possible. Jesus looked at them, Matthew 19:26. He said, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, you know the rest of the verse? All things are possible. Believe miracles are possible. And number six, rejoice if healing comes today. And rejoice if it doesn't. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And then the Apostle Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Listen, if you are not healed today, continue to remain in Him. And rejoice. No, don't just continue and mope. No, continue and rejoice. Examine yourself to see what else God desires to work in you. And then rejoice. Remember, it's all about Jesus. Right? It's all about Jesus. We got to keep reminding ourselves because we're sick. We don't feel good, but it's all about Jesus. And number seven, realize that as a committed Christian, God will never forsake you. God will never forget you. You ever feel forgotten? No, He promises He will never forget you. This means that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Sometimes God has a way larger purpose in mind that will bring Him even greater glory. Remember, it's about Him. maybe there's a greater good even that comes from it. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Number eight, do not ignore the proper use of medical care. The Bible endorses it. In Matthew 9:12, Jesus said, it is the sick who need a doctor. The Good Samaritan was commended for bandaging the man at the side of the road. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, as well as the gospel, what was he? He was a physician. See, God many times uses doctors to prepare us to receive the healing. You know where the healing comes from? The healing comes from God. You do know that doctors can't heal you. You do know that, don't you? Some of you work in the medical field. Surely you're not so deceived that you believe that doctors can heal you. Now, they can prepare you for healing. They can position you for healing. They can put stuff together and sew it together. But if God don't heal you, it just comes back apart. You said, no, the human body does that. Well, who made the human body to be able to do that? Let's not forget, all healing comes from God. Our job as pastors, ministers, elders, doctors, is to prepare people, to position them where they can receive what God has for them. Number 9, God's promises are conditional. His love, not so, no, it's unconditional, but his promises are conditional. All God's, including healing, they're all true, but they're all conditional. They all require something. They all require faith. Faith in God, not faith in the preacher, not faith in the oil, not faith in any formula, not even faith in faith. Some people say, I got enough faith. My faith, I believe my faith will heal me. Your faith isn't going to do anything. Your faith, it's not how much faith you have, it's the object of your faith, which is Jesus Christ, the great physician. And so, there's a story that was told of a little boy and his father. They were walking along a road when they came across a large stone. And the boy looked at the stone, and he thought about it for a little bit. And then he asked his father, he said, Dad, do you think if I use all my strength, I can move that rock? And the father thought for a moment, and he said, yes, son, I think that if you use all your strength, you can do it. And that's all the little boy needed to hear, man. He ran over to that rock, and he began to push on it. I mean, he pushed, and he pushed, and he pushed. He tried so hard, little beads of sweat popped on his little forehead. But the rock didn't move. The rock didn't move even an inch, not even a half an inch. It didn't move. And after a while, the little boy sat down on the ground. His face had fallen. His whole body seemed to slump. You were wrong, he told his dad. I can't do it. And when we heard that, the father walked over and knelt down beside his son. He put his arm around the boy's shoulder. He said, you can do it, son. You just didn't use all your strength. You see, you didn't ask me to help. Listen. God wants us to ask him. Whether you need physical healing, or if you need strength to kick an addiction, or you need the courage to overcome emotional and mental anguish, God wants us to use all our strength. We have a resource available to us right now, right here. All we need to do is ask and watch what God will do. So, first, be in right relationship with God. What does that mean? It means repent of your sins. It means to ask Christ, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. Surrender your life to King Jesus. And if you're already a believer, then ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any unrighteousness in you. And ask God to forgive you. And second, after you've done that, ask forgiveness of any other person that you may have offended. And then, maybe even more difficult, forgive anybody who's done you wrong, anyone who's offended you. And then next, be honest. Why are you asking for healing? What are your motives? Are you wanting to be healed so you can better serve God? Ask yourself this question. Am I willing to not be healed if it's God's will for me to suffer? You say, it would never be God's will for me to suffer. Based on what? I can show you all kinds of places in the scripture where people suffered. Prayed. Believers. The Apostle Paul is a good example. He prayed and prayed and prayed to be healed. Something about, and he wasn't ever. We don't know. What do we know? So the question is, am I willing to not be healed if it's God's will for me to suffer? If your answer to that is no, I'm not, then you need to accept the fact that your motive may be self-centered rather than God-centered. Never forget that it's what? All about Jesus. So here are our instructions this morning. As the music plays, we're going to have this in a little bit, you're going to be welcome to sing along, but more importantly, I urge you to do a few things. Number one, reflect on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Reflect on your relationship with other people. And if the Holy Spirit reveals anything that may have put distance between you and God, anything that may have put distance between you and anyone else, ask God to forgive you and determine that you're going to make that right at the first opportunity. Ask for grace to be able to forgive anyone who's hurt you. You say, I'll never forgive them. Never. After what they did to my mother, or they did to my friend, whatever your thing is. And you think you're hurting them by not forgiving them. You're not. Not forgiving doesn't hurt anybody except you. When you don't forgive, it's like saying, I hate them so much that I'm going to drink poison. It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. It's you. So get right. Determine that you're going to. And don't rush through this part right here I'm talking about. We're not going to rush through this. Make sure you've examined yourself thoroughly. The number one requirement today and any day is to get right with God. That doesn't mean get God to accept and understand your position. No, you adjust your position to get right with Him. And then, instruction number two, once you know that's right, you're invited to come to the Lord's table. We're going to partake of communion today. After you've humbled yourself, you've asked, you've confessed your sins, you've asked forgiveness, when you've fully surrendered your will to King Jesus, then come to the table, eat the bread, representing His body that was broken for you. Drink the cup that represents His blood that was shed, the blood that you should have shed of your own, but He shed His blood to cover you. And that gave you life. And then, when you're done with that, you can return to your seat. Unless you'd also like prayer for healing. And if you do, there's number three. After you partake of communion, by the way, we're going to have everybody come this way. It's a one-way deal. We're going to come, approach this way, and go back to our seats this way. So if you're over here, you'll go all the way around, come back. But when you come, after you do this, and you receive communion, as you go back, before you go back to your seat, we're going to have the elders at the back of the room, the back of the sanctuary. And if you want healing, just go to them. Incidentally, I've invited retired Pastor John Glennon, who's a member of our church, to join me and the elders today as we anoint with oil and pray in the name of the Lord, according to his word. So he will be joining us. But after we anoint you, and after we pray for you, please return to your seat and continue praising and worshiping Jesus Christ. He's our Redeemer. He's our King. He's the lover of our souls and the great physician.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.